You can find it on page 267. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live there for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people, and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them, "call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, and her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
Thank you, Hannah. And thank you to the music group as well. Oh, that was brilliant. Oh, there's so much in here, isn't there? There's just such a story. And we're just going to pray and then we'll get straight into it. Oh, Jesus, I thank you so much that you could put stories in the Bible, but they have such a relevance for us. They're always eternal. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will pull out of me all that we need to hear today, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first bit of this story is like famine, having enough to eat. And it just brings me back to my childhood when I was growing up, and I grew up in a really quite hard thing. My father died when I was 6, and we grew up. And there were times when I didn't have enough to eat. So I really appreciate how hard that is. And there are bishops that I've met. There's one particular one that comes to mind. He was Oh, he told me a story of there was a time when him and his wife had nothing to eat for an entire week. Not that they were had chosen to fast, but they had nothing to eat. And then he was invited after service to go to somebody's house, and his wife was left at home because she was too weak to go out. And they invited him to stay and eat, and he had this such desire to stay and have some food because he hadn't eaten for so long. But he thought of his wife at home, and he said, no, I can't eat anything. He couldn't partake of it knowing that she was suffering. So I come across stories of things, not always that extreme, but it shows that why people move around when there is nothing to eat. And it just makes us think of the famines that are going on in the nation at the moment and the people who are struggling. But then we go on to Naomi and her husband and her two sons. And just to lose a husband is bad enough. My mum, my stepfather died about 6 years ago, and the process that she has gone through and the mourning to come over all of that, and it's still quite raw. But then to go on top of that and lose two sons as well, I mean, we never expect that our children will die before us. And it was really, really brought home to me. I was in Cafe Casa not so long ago, a couple of weeks, and there was a woman there who had been gone to look for work in Glastonbury. And she had missed her coach, so she'd gone into the cafe and they'd let her sleep upstairs on one of the couches for a bit because she was exhausted. And she was just in tears. And Mustafa, who runs the cafe, he said, go and pray with her, which is really good. Muslim telling a Christian to get on and pray. And I went, she probably doesn't want me to go pray with her. He said, she's crying. Go and pray with her. So I went over and I started to talk to her, and her name was Hazel. And she wasn't very old, 24, 25 years old. And she had two children, but she had 6 months ago, she had lost one. It was stillborn. Blossom. And the anguish that she was going through and the pain that she was suffering, to not to lose one husband, but not one son, but two sons. I can't imagine the pain that Naomi had gone through. She must have felt so low. No wonder she refers to herself as being bitter later on in the passage. But the thing that adds to it is that they were there for 10 years and both her sons had got wives, but there were no children. So that could just compounded on it. I've lost my husband, I've lost my sons, and I've got no grandchildren either. 10 years and not a grandchild in sight. Wow. I can't imagine how she must have felt, that God had really left her, that she was so alone. I mean, she had two daughters-in-law, but they weren't kind of hers, you know, they belonged to other families and they were grafted into her family, but it wasn't the same. So there she was. It's interesting that somebody in place comes along and tells her that the famine is over and she can go home. Now we'll find out later in the passage how perfect that timing is. Absolutely perfect timing that she just happens to hear. Isn't that wonderful about God, that we hear things just in time? That God lines everything up just to be perfect. So here she is, she's had all this disappointment and this regret, and she's carrying it with her, and she starts telling her daughter-in-law, she's the matriarch, she feels responsible for them, but she can't provide what they need. So she thinks the best thing for them is to send them away. sometimes we feel responsible for people, and we feel that we have to be kind of in charge of them, and the best thing for us to do is, if we can't help them, is to send them away. But it says here that Ruth won't go. And it's great that she doesn't go, because she turns out to be Naomi's really important, significant blessing. Sometimes we send people away in our lives thinking that we have to be responsible, we have to look after them. But actually, God has sent them along to look after us, to take care of us. Sometimes we don't realize that. So just be careful in your life who you send out of it, because it may just be that is the person that God has sent to bless you. Oh, there we go. I love this bit. I might even read it out twice again, because I just think this is amazing. I'm going to read it once. Ruth says, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." Wow. And just imagine, I know this is a little sidebar here, but just imagine that you were at a wedding ceremony and somebody said those vows over their partner. Let me just read it again. "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." Isn't that powerful? Isn't that just amazing? Imagine being at a wedding with that. I would have my hanky out, I tell you, if somebody said that over their partner. I would be in tears. Oh. "So the two women went on their way, and they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman claimed, 'Can this be Naomi?'" I know that some people can physically change their appearance when they have been through hard times. They might lose weight or go grey. Yeah. So there we have it. She's arrived and the whole town is abuzz. Everybody's talking about her. Naomi's back. You imagine that the time, apart from if there was somebody traveling, you wouldn't hear about somebody. And she's been gone for 10 years. And they haven't, there's no email, there's no phone system, there's no postal system. They literally haven't heard. They don't know if she's alive or dead. And she suddenly turned up and there's this, from what it seems, an exuberance. Everybody's stirred up. Naomi's back. Have you seen her? Wow. Party time. And she isn't feeling like that at all. She feels like she's come back in defeat. She feels like she's brought her disappointment back with her. She feels like she's got nothing. That it's just, I'm just come back because there's nowhere else to go. This is my last place of hope. I'm on my knees. God has dealt with me ever so severely. And I'm back. Wow. But Naomi, she's bitter. And we all know what happens in the story, don't we? And we all know that she gets really blessed. And this is really encouraging, that Naomi, even though she's bitter, God still chooses to bless her. Isn't that great? That even though sometimes we're not flowing with God the way we should and our thinking isn't quite right, God can still bring his plan through. Sometimes we think, oh, if it the things that we're hoping for and the things that we're dreaming for, they don't come about. Well, maybe I've done something wrong. Maybe my heart isn't right. Maybe I didn't pray hard enough. But here is Mara. She's openly speaking out, God's dealt with me really severely, and I'm, call me bitter. I mean, she doesn't make it any plainer than that, does she? And yeah. And we can get a bit disappointed sometimes if we've been trusting God for something. If there are things in our lives that we've been standing and believing for, people to get saved that we love, healing. It might be that you're dealing with loneliness, sadness for some reason. God takes us where we are, and he loves us at that point. And even though Naomi was saying, I'm bitter, I'm disappointed, I feel like you've let me down, God still took her through to her blessing. And it gives us hope. It gives us all hope. God, you can deal with my situation. God, I don't need to give up. I can believe in you. I can trust you. You won't let me down. And we come to the end bit here. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Isn't that just interesting timing? The daughter-in-law who she tried to send away is the one who actually starts providing. Ruth in chapter 2 is the one who turns around to Naomi and goes, can I go out? Let me glean in the fields. Let me bring in some food. Let me take care of you. She is the one who says, I want to go out. I don't want to sit around doing nothing, waiting to die of starvation. So she goes out, and that changes everything. Her heart to do what she can where she is. God really spoke to me about this last verse, about the barley harvest, the last time I was doing a finance conference in Africa. And I had a room full of people, and I was like, God, on the last day, I said, what do you want me to preach about? Am I looking at Ruth 4 because I've been going through the whole book? And he went, no. I went, what do you want? He said, just that verse. Just that verse. That's all I get to preach on for the last session, for an hour. Preach on one verse anyway. I started out saying the barley harvest has started. This was the end of a finance conference in Africa, and I was trying to get across what God was saying. I said, no, stand up on your feet. Stand up. The barley harvest has started. The place of blessing God is going to bring his abundance to this place. And they caught the fire and they understood what I was trying to say. And we all got very, very excited. There was dancing and everything, which is really, really good. So there we go. She's in back home and the barley harvest is beginning. The blessing is coming. God is changing her life. God is bringing her hope. So let's just pray, and then I've got something else to share with you. Oh God, I just lift up those hearts in this place that might be broken, lonely, disappointed. People who have been holding on for you to answer prayer. And I just pray that you will anoint them afresh with hope. Give them hope, Lord. Let them have something from this passage that they can hold on to. One of these verses that encourages them to have hope. Lord, bring people across their path to help them. You call us not to walk on our own. You call us to be in families. God, surround people with all that they need. And bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share a prophecy that was given for Bristol. And it was given by Laurie Dimmick on October the 10th, 2014. And she lives in America. And she had this word that has been weighed by the elders of the city, and they have released it. And it started with the release conference. So I'm going to read this out. Bristol will be known as the healing capital of England. An outpouring of healing anointing is coming to that region, and songs of deliverance will be sung from there. Seeds planted years ago have come to full maturity and are ready to be harvested. John Wesley and others. Not a flash in the pan move, but a deep, lasting move of the Spirit of the living God is going to be released there. Winds of change are blowing, and a changing of the guard is coming to the church as well as the political arena. Weeds are being uprooted that have been choking the life out of my children and distracting them from me. So I just leave that with you to weigh. But I would say that I'm happy to pray with anybody who has a healing need if you want at the end of the service. I'm very happy if you want to just come and find me. I'll pray into anything. We had a very interesting time this morning. There was a team from Korea, South Korea, in our church. They have I won't be using their praying thing. They tend to smack you on the back. I won't be doing any of that, but just to say that if anybody wants healing, and I'll leave this for you, there's another one that came for hope in there as well. Thank you very much. Bless you, Lord. Amen.